Good afternoon. I'm Jay.
I'm Sil.
And today we're going to talk about past lives and
other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just going to freelance, you know.
So welcome back.
All right. So we're going to start out with introducing our two kittens because we just got two kittens. So Stella and Pepper.
That's what took our last week up because we were too preoccupied and they needed our attention.
Yep. And we had way too much fun. But they're sleeping right now, so if you hear any noise, that means they're up.
A bundle of joy right here. Right. Entertainment at your first hand.
They really are. They really are. They're starting to really, come to us and love us and not be afraid of us anymore. So, all right. So, past lives. You want to start us off?
Sure. So, for me anyways, past lives, I didn't really understand it fully until later on in life. And I always felt like I was an old soul and always wondered why, you know, random people or animals would just come up to me for no reason and either tell me their life story or want compassion from me, in some way. And, for me also, you know, like past lives, I've been told throughout my childhood as well as adulthood that you're very wise, you know, man for your young age. And I never really understood that until later on too.
Well, we've both had some readings and they've talked about our past lives together, which are very interesting. And some of the ones are you were a samurai.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different kind of connection when you meet somebody. For me, I particularly pay attention to my intuition and my senses, and I can a lot of times feel an instant connection or something that I want to stay away from or veer. So with Sil, I felt an instant connection. I've known her previously, and I couldn't explain how, and it wasn't until we went to a colleague of ours that gave us a reading and let us know and confirmed that we did live a past life together. Actually, there's been several.
Yes, several.
And the connection that we have.
And it's amazing that sometimes there are things that you feel drawn to, like a culture, for instance, specific countries, whether it's Chinese or Mexican cultures and stuff like that. And you don't really realize why. You're drawn to it. And hence, why is your past lives?
Exactly.
You've been there.
Like, I grew up at 11 years old. I was in an undertow in an ocean, and it scared me. And I've always had a fear of big bodies of water, but never understood why. And I remember doing an exercise in class, and we were paired up, and we were doing past lives, and we were talking about how I was a crew member on a Titanic when it had gone down. So for me, being out in large bodies of water is kind of a big fear for me because it's bigger than us and it has control and power and everything behind it. So I was always fearful of that kind of thing. Like Sil was talking about, you know, you're just automatically drawn to things. Even certain styles of writing or singing or voices.
Music.
All just sorts of things. Anything.
Yeah, like for me, pyramids and stuff like that. And sure enough, I have been in that situation in that past life. Don't know all the details. Of course you don't. But you sometimes when you get a reading and they kind of confirm, they see you as this or that, doing this or that. So that was one of the things that it was like an aha moment where like, wow, that's why I'm so intrigued of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it wasn't only just exercises and classes. It was also, you know, I really highly suggest that people are really interested in this, getting past life regressions done. The more information you find out about yourself, the more you understand why you do certain things or talk or say things. So this is, to me, it's all a learning thing, and I feel like this life for me is about learning lessons, and we all make mistakes. We all have made mistakes, you know, and that's one of the things I want to talk about too, a little bit too, is that we shouldn't be, I guess, beaten down all the time consistently for stuff, for mistakes that you have made in the past, that we're allowed to change and grow and learn from. And I feel like that's one of the biggest lessons in life today is learning lessons. Mm-hmm. I remember it was either a past life regression that I went to or like a reading that I always felt like like some kind of counselor. And I've always been conflicted inside my own body, like why I feel like a coward a lot of times, but why I also feel like a warrior and a leader. Mm-hmm. And so some of like my past lives was confirmed that like I was a bartender, which kind of explains why, you know, possibly this past life or this life that I'm in now that I've had an issue with alcohol, you know. But they saw me as a bartender helping everybody else out with their own problems. And I remember being in school and a lot of, you know, kids my age would come to me about their relationship problems. So I feel like relationships for me is a strong point when it comes to readings and like reading people and things of that nature and paying attention to signs and really learning them. Cause I remember growing up before I even took classes thinking that I was crazy mm-hmm. for feeling the things that I did, and then come to find out, you know, you're feeling these things for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, I've really learned to pay attention to that. And, I can also, you know, it's like the more things you've been through, the more you can pick up the experiences sooner, the signs sooner. And that's what I feel like it's all about. And so now I know, like, when energy is dropping, because everything's about energy, I feel like when energy is dropping between two people, there's usually a reason for that. And I remember, you know, having a lot of people come to me for readings about relationships and what's going on with their relationships. And a lot of times it's all about communication and the lack of it and the unresolved issues that's reoccurring that people sit on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crucial. Definitely crucial in a relationship. You got to talk about everything. If you're not able to talk about everything, then the problems are just going to be there and they're never going to go away.
You know, and that brings up a good point, too, is when people come for a reading and I'm trying to give them impressions and they want to keep talking, it's because they've been shut down and nobody listens to them. So I've learned to understand that, too, is that when people come to you for a reading, they need somebody to vent or somebody to listen to them, somebody to hear them. So it's not always about talking. It's about listening, too. And I found, too, that when people talk, the more they talk, the more impressions come to me and the easier it is for me to be able to give them their reading or what I'm picking up on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So as far as past lives go, what are the different past lives that you've had?
So I've always thought, ever since I can remember, that I never felt like I belonged here. Mm-hmm. I always felt that I was from somewhere else and I was different from most people. And I remember going and having a Reiki session done with my teacher. And at the end, she said to me all the impressions that she had received and gotten that she goes, normally I don't get this, but she goes, you're from the planet Polaris. And it kind of made sense because a lot of people, other colleagues and people that I've talked to about this, you know, say they used to tell me all the time that you're from Orion. And that didn't make sense to me. It didn't click with me. When I read about Polarians, it makes 100% like who I am. So that's what I mean about researching and finding out things and being open-minded about things and not shutting things down. Because the more you learn about this kind of stuff, the more it kind of opens up your horizon.
Yeah, curiosity. There's a reason that's there. And whenever you're not sure about something, you're curious about something, definitely look it up.
And I'm very skeptical. I'm very skeptical. It's natural to be skeptical. And I'm always questioning. And it was taught to me in class, too, that skepticism is very healthy. Mm-hmm. So question everything. And that's the same thing when I'm working with spirit and I'm getting messages from them. A lot of times I get like they crowd me because everybody wants to come through. And I've been kind of known, you know, from other people that have gone to several other different meetings. They come to me and they get a message from somebody that I'm getting. And they're like, nobody has ever been able to pick up on that one. Mm-hmm. So I give what I get. And that's what we were taught. And I play the question, okay, like who, what, where, how, when, you know, all kind of questions. And I just sit in kind of a silence. And even though that silence seems like it's taking minutes on end, mm-hmm. it's a split second. And you're getting all this, receiving all this information. And as you're talking and you're getting the confirmation from the sitter, we call them the sitter, mm-hmm. The more that kind of opens up more mm-hmm. impressions and the story kind of flows sooner. If you get somebody that sits there and stonewalls you, you know, and just with a straight face, I call them, I don't know, the restless, I don't know, bitch face. You know, they don't have any kind of emotions whatsoever. It's very hard to read for those people. And it's like pulling teeth. So when I'm in that frame of mind, not only do I meditate before I do a reading, I make sure that I'm in my like right brain, because mm-hmm. that's your intuition. And it's like a fine-tuned radio in the olden days. You have to meet their level if you want to go there. You know, some are lower than others or some are higher than others. And you have to play the like adjustment game and really pay attention. So being a medium is very draining emotion or energy. Mm-hmm. And it takes a toll on you. I've been known to, when giving readings, that I tend to take on the other person's personalities. As well as I've been told that my face transfigures, I guess, or transforms into mm-hmm. the person that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then recently I have gone into trances, and that's something that I've been really asking for, because it is really energy draining, and they know more than we do up in the spirit world. So I rely on them to give me the information that I need to be able to pass along. And
yeah, definitely. One thing that I wanted to bring up is the way that you meditate beforehand, and you actually, the vibrations have to be, you know, higher. So before you do anything, you have to meditate. You have to meet their vibrations.
When I know that I'm reading for a specific person, I will do a specific meditation for that person and ask for their guides and their loved ones and their hires to come forward to be able to give me accurate messages to be able to pass along to the other person. And I try to really work on too with spirit is giving me a piece of information that only they would know. So whether it be, and I've done this to reading for other people in front of like a group, I've had to actually go up to somebody quietly and whisper in their ears what other people are saying, because it's kind of either funny or inappropriate and it's not meant for everybody. So, but it's their way of letting us or them know that they're here, they're around us. And that's basically what I do, is I give what I get. The one thing that we were trained not to do was do doom and gloom. So for an example of that is, if I see somebody, say, getting hit by a car, and I describe this person to a T and this whole situation, what I would say to that person would be like, please be extra careful around vehicles or cars or streets.
Crossing or whatever the case may be.
Either this day or for the next couple of days. Or somebody slipping and falling and getting hurt down the stairs or something. I would say, please be extremely cautious and more careful the next couple of days. And I leave that with you with love and light. Mm-hmm. So it's always given back to them.
Yeah.
Positively, you know, and mm-hmm. peacefully and encouraging and uplifting.
Oh, yeah. So it's not supposed to be doom and gloom. It's they didn't come here like, hey, when am I going to die? What's going to happen? And
right.
It's not all about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if there's something that you need to be careful of, then there you go.
So past lives is pretty cool, especially if you can able to go under a trance. And I thought I was one of those that weren't able to go under, but I can. And the messages behind it, and just visualizing what it was like when you were that other person. And I, listen, guys, I was an alien. I was a woman behind, you know, in the past lives. I was so many things. And I've been told, too, that I wasn't here for hundreds or thousands of years, that I've been here for millennials. So I've been here several different times, different lives, learning different things. And I keep coming back because I want to learn something new. This lifetime, for me, personally, I feel like it's all about being the pattern curse cycle breaker. And that's what I talked a little bit about in my book that I wrote. But I feel like that's your main purpose. And just because you were treated or raised or saw, witnessed things when you were younger, and that's not how you should be. Because to me, for me, I had to really distinguish, because I was a very angry person, is that God is love. Like, God is not destruction. God doesn't want destruction, violence, that kind of thing. And I've also noticed, too, with this, now that this the Trump shooting happened, I believe yesterday, and you know, just the violence, and I'm seeing patterns. I'm seeing patterns. And it doesn't take, and listen, folks, I don't watch TV. I don't listen to news. The only thing that I know is what I see comes through my news feed or what I hear or what I see personally. But other than that, I don't know what's going on and I don't pay attention. But what I have seen throughout history is all these greats, these Muhammad Ali's and Dalai Lama and
Gandhi,
Christ, all these kinds of people that all they wanted was love and no retaliation, and to give back and to heal and help, were assassined in one way or another. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't like violence. Violence doesn't solve anything.
No, it makes things 10 times worse.
Yeah.
It really does.
It's like building blocks. You add violence to something and then more violence comes, and then next thing you know, everything is chaos. And hence why the world is the way it is today sometimes. That's the way I look at it anyway.
And extremely hard. It for me, it's common sense. For other people, you know, they need to hear something more than once or something. And I'm one of those too. But for me, it's common sense when I step outside and I just witness how people react and how they behave. And it's sad. It's as simple as that. I mean, I could go into other words and how to describe it, but to me, it's just sad.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm kind of, I take a little bits and pieces of people that have been out there and put themselves out there and things of that nature. And I look at them like George Carlin. I feel like I'm kind of like a modern day George Carlin. Like, I can't tolerate bullshit, lies, ignorance, prejudice, judgmental, like the hateful things, because I don't like absorbing, and I felt that energy, and I don't like that energy, and I don't want that around me.
Yeah, I definitely feel like us empaths, we do absorb a lot, and sometimes it could be great things, a lot of love and this and that, but if you're around people that are the opposite, it makes you very angry and sad. And it puts you down, it puts your life down, and you're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to have love for each other.
That's and I still
where we're supposed to live.
And I still, to this day, even though I've been doing this professionally for going on 10 years, I still am learning how to protect myself, because it feels like there's days where I can't put enough bracelets on or necklaces or stones and crystals in my pocket. Or burn incense. I cannot do enough, and it seems like sometimes when I'm around certain people, I absorb that energy, and it takes like a day or two to get rid of that energy, and it's just like, okay, where's this coming from? So I've also come to learn, too, that when I notice it and I recognize it, I'll say, you know, I asked for this behavior, this characteristic, to go back to the original owner with love and light, not sending it back to him like as a karma, as a punishment, because karma is not meant to be a punishment. It's meant to learn a lesson. And you're going to keep getting those lessons until you learn it, or keep being involved with people, places, things, whatever, until you learn your lessons. So,
absolutely. I do just wanted to bring this up, attachments, and how when you got a reading not too long ago, they did say that you had a couple, and they're just kind of in the corner and this and that. So just wanted to talk about that, and the fact that when we got these kitties, it's almost like they're drawn to that corner. It's like they're protecting you. And not to mention that they are such bundles of love. All we have been doing is literally watching them and interact with them, and we're just laughing, and it just, they lift us up. So I feel like they've kind of pushed those attachments away.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point the other day when, I think it was the third day that we had them, third or fourth, they started really warming up and coming out, and our black kitten, Stella, she came right up to me, she's adorable, and was licking my bottom lip, and then wanted me to pet her and love her. And then our other one, Pepper, he came up as well and started wanting me to love him too, and so made the comment of, I believe they recognize that your attachments aren't with you anymore, or something like that. So
yeah, I feel like they were skittish at first because it's a new environment, but they kept going in that corner, and then they're just like, and they still do here and there, but it's more so for sleeping. But I do believe that there is more love and than happiness now, and I feel like the attachments are no longer causing havoc. Yeah, the way you feel, I can actually sense that.
And it's one of those things where normally I investigate where those attachments came from, but this is the feeling where I just feel like I just need to let them go and just let them be, and not worry about it, that they're taken care of. Because I know that I'm protected by angels and loved ones and spirit guides. And I know that there's one particular one that's inside me that I inherited at some point when I was young. And I like to call it my peekaboo attachment. It comes out when it feels like it and stuff like this. And it's not always a good thing. And I don't like it. And I notice, like, my change of my character, my behaviors and things of this nature. Because a lot of times, folks that have been through traumas and things of that nature, they pick up these attachments. And these attachments are there at the time to be able to protect you. But as you get older, you don't need them anymore. And they need to know that you're okay, and that they're no longer needed. And they can go back to, you know, wherever they came from.
But I do believe sometimes there are attachments that you pick up because they're bad attachments from somebody that was.
Yes, an empath and a healer are natural, like magnets. And I've noticed that, a lot of that too. And so that's why I'm particularly leery of sometimes going into big places and galleries and things of that nature. Even doing simple one-on-one readings and stuff. I always make sure... We were taught in class, it's not protect your ass, it's protect your aura, because you need to protect your aura. And for me, especially in this industry that I do, there's not many straight male psychic mediums that do this. And I'm not putting anyone else down, but I feel the natural, because what I'm going with this is I get 95% women that come to me for readings. So I protect myself by placing myself in places where there's cameras, where there's people, where it's public, or where there's going to be many people. Like, I've done house readings and stuff, and I always say the minimum is like 7, you know, 6, and then including the host. So I always do minimum, and they're very energy draining to begin with. So I like to keep safe. I like to know that I'm protected, and that nobody's going to pull or try to pull the wool over my head or get away with something. And I want to make sure that I have witnesses.
These days and age.
And it's unfortunate the way the world is today.
Absolutely. Everybody's so happy and just all kinds of chaos, you know.
That's another subject for another time.
Yeah.
How we see the world today.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. So I want to be the encourager. I want to bring the other leaders out. And I've always found, too, with myself, is I'm able to help people out with their talents and kind of guide them in their purpose. And that's what I'd rather, because where I lack, I want to find somebody who's good at, so I can learn from them. And I feel like that would be a good boss too, is somebody that's not the most intelligent or whatever, but finds people more intelligent than they are so they can learn from them.
I mean, it's all
about working together.
I'm a salon owner and I don't know everything. There's always more to learn. Nobody knows everything. You know, we learn from each other as coworkers. I don't consider myself the top. You know, I think everybody's learning from everybody around them. That's the way it should be. We learn and we should teach. If there's something that person needs, then help them out.
Absolutely. And one thing, you know, as psychics, and everybody is a psychic, here's the things with psychics. Can't always see in our own backyard. And if we knew everything, we would be, you know, considered God. Mm-hmm. We don't. So it's one of those things where you know how to shut it off and when to turn it on. And I don't know everything. And we can't always see in our own backyards or who we get involved with, because this is a honeymoon stage. Everything's great at the beginning, blah, 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 blah. And you can't read and see everything. That's why it's always good to have, like, your tribe or your support network or however you call it.
Absolutely. And just because you have tons of followers or tons of people that you might consider friends doesn't mean they're true friends.
Or that you're successful. Yeah. You know, people worship, you know, celebrities more than they support, you know, local businesses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just...
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so is there anything you want to bring up about past lives?
Yeah, I had this one past life regression done by this woman named Kelly, and it was a phenomenal one where I was a woman, and I was in a rocking chair, and I remember a chandelier, and it had all those, like, crystals hanging from it, and I remember at the end of the recession, she goes, is there a message, you know, with this? And I said, yes, that each crystal represented, like, a memory that needed to be forgiven or forgave or something to be able to move forward or something like that. It was a phenomenal one. I wish I do have it somewhere that buried. I got to pull it out somewhere. But I thought it was a wonderful message. The other one was the samurai. Mm-hmm. I've always been fascinated with, I took a little bit of kickboxing when I was younger. I've always been fascinated in, like, weapons and stuff like this, but not to hurt or harm anybody. But I always had, like, quick reflexes and stuff too. And I remember my instructor was telling me when I was doing kickboxing, he's like, you have potential in weapons. So when Denise had read for us and she gave us the Rose past life readings,
I love that.
And she confirmed it for us, because I felt like, you know, we were back then in, like...
Yeah, I was wearing a kimono and...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and I've always been fascinated with those things too.
Yeah,
like all that culture and, you know, the movies and stuff like that, reading books, anything like that, fascinating to me. So, and there you go.
Yeah, so like kimonos and mokes and or monks. I can't even speak today. Monks, that kind of life I'm intrigued by, because it's peaceful, it's quiet, and it's serene, and that's what I would love to see the world come to one day, is where you're able to just walk outside of your house and not have to worry about, okay, am I being watched? Am I being judged? Am I being this? Am I being... You can just walk out and feel at peace.
I mean, safe. Having tattoos, you know, and you feel like...
You're judged.
You're judged. And that kind of sucks, because sometimes you do have to just... brush that off, because everybody's going to have some kind of judgment, but it's sad that we all have that.
You know, you brought up tattoos. Great point. And I remember hearing from somebody one time describing tattoos, because this person had a lot of piercings and stuff too. And she goes, for me, it's pain therapy. When she said that, that made complete sense to me, because that's exactly what it is. It's not only that I want to tell a story of where I come from, it's personal to me. It's art to me, and that's how I look at it. And I don't, you know, and my original intent when I was 18 years old is I didn't want to be anything like my biological father. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do everything opposite so he could dislike me even more than he already did. So, I had piercings and tattoos, and I just, to me, it's personal. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly care with so much people think, you know, it's
part
when
you, of you, part of your life.
It's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of proud of that. Mm-hmm. Not kind of, I am proud of that. And I still, because of the traumas and stuff growing up through elementary school and being teased and bullied and things of that nature and picked on, that plays a part of me too to this day, because people don't seem to realize how much psychological abuse and mental abuse mm-hmm. affects you more than physical, and how long things stay with you, especially depending on how young something has happened, right? So for me, I still to this day am very leery being out in public and showing my tattoos and being uncomfortable. But I'm getting better and better with that every day.
Exactly, as you should. But we all have our moments, mm-hmm. of course. But we encourage each other to be who we are and who we're meant to be and who we want to be, really. Mm-hmm. You know? But yeah, I know that one of the past lives that we've been told is, I know I was told that I was, at the time that Christ was being crucified, I was amongst the watchers, I was amongst the people that were there. I don't know, I think I was somewhat a little closer to Christ, I think she said, but you know, that was kind of intriguing.
Same thing with me, I always felt like I was one of his disciples or somebody very close to him. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't go to church, I consider myself a spiritualist. I'm not any one particular religion, mm-hmm. because I feel like religion is love, and it all depends on what you feel and what you resonate with. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, where I come from. But I do feel and believe that Christ was here at one point, and he is a natural healer as well as a psychic and a medium. And I'm not a scripture reader, a book reader in general. I've read some passages, and like I said, when I had a knee injury I talk a little bit about this in my book. I took the time to read about the Old Testament and stuff, because I've always fascinated on Genesis, you know, and how the world was created, that kind of thing. But I always felt like it's been here a lot longer, and I've never really considered God a person. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's energy.
Absolutely.
He's vibrations. He's everywhere. He's everything. And so all God wanted to do was love. And I feel like, I do feel, and this is my personal belief, that when Noah cast away on the ark, that I believe it was Cain, the bad one, had hitched a ride and brought the evil back mm-hmm. to the new world. And that's what we've got going on today. I do feel it stems from them. Then, I should say.
Yeah, because it's all about relationship with the Creator. Mm-hmm. Get to know him and, you know, rely on him.
Well, that's one of the things I was brought up not to talk about, was religious mm-hmm. politics and, like, abortions and things of that nature. Because that's all personal, people's personal...
if you don't believe what we believe, it's okay.
Right.
That's your beliefs. And we're not trying to instill, this is what we believe and that we talk about.
You know, I feel like it's whatever resonates with you. As long as it's not doing harm or evil to somebody or something else, mm-hmm. you know, then, you know, let them live their lives.
And I do believe all our past lives are meant for us to learn from. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that every single time that we come back, there are more things that we need to learn, and it's all about getting higher. It's like you're going through school, basically. Mm-hmm. You're learning. You got to learn from your lessons, your mistakes, just lessons, period. There's a lot of lessons that we have to learn from. So I believe that's what past lives are for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that's what we believe, folks, and... today was kind of a freelance. We kind of went everywhere, but it's okay. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, the rawer, the better.
Yeah. So if any of you would like to get a reading by Jay, feel free to message him on Facebook, or you can go on his website.
Instagram as well.
Yeah, Instagram.
I also have a book out in our website. So. Mm.
Yeah. So the link will be with the podcast, so in the description.
Yes.
Thanks, folks, and we will see you next week.
Have a great week, everybody, and stay cool.
Awesome.
And that concludes today's segment on Spirit Talk. I'm Jay.
And I'm Sue.